money cannot buy. What are some important things that money cannot buy? Money can't buy everything. Money can't buy most things. Can't buy love, right? That's very true. I think there's a song about that or something. I don't know. I think that's a song. Let's just throw some things out there. What are some important things that money can't buy?
Peace.
Salvation. Peace.
Home.
It can buy. You know what? That is deep right there. Money can buy you a house. It can't buy you a home. That's very true. Money can buy you a house. It can't buy you a home. What's another thing that money can't buy?
Friendship.
Money can't buy health. You can spend all your money. You go to the doctor with cancer. You can spend all your money. They can't cure cancer. Only God can cure cancer. They can try. But you know what? There's people with money that die every single day of diseases. Money can't buy health. There's a lot of things that money can't buy. Now, peace. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing. Time. Money can't buy you a single more minute in your day. That's true. Friends? Absolutely. All important things. Write down some of those things. Those are real treasures. The balance in your bank account is not a treasure, because it won't get you one thing you want in life. You can be the richest man on earth. And a lot of rich people wish that they had spent more time with their families when they were amassing their fortune. Money can't buy everything. Now, let's talk about this fourth pitfall. Failing the test. This one is important. And it's important that we understand what the test is. Jesus says here, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Here's the test. "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" This is interesting. What Jesus is saying here is deep, and it is revelation of truth that we cannot get from any other source. If you haven't been faithful with money, mammon, Jesus is speaking of dollars and cents. If you have not been faithful with money, how in the world is God going to trust you with something more important, the true riches that He offers? That's scary when you stop and think about it. God is saying, "I am withholding true riches from you until you are faithful in the little things." And you know what? Unfortunately, we fail the little things so often that God is never able to take us to the next step to give us things that really mean something. It's interesting. When you talk about stewardship, when we talk about stewardship, look at this picture here. This is a picture of Joseph. Everybody remembers, we're not going to go for sake of time back to the book of Genesis, chapters 39, 40 and following, where Joseph goes to Egypt. He's taken out of prison. He reveals to Pharaoh his dream. And Pharaoh looks at him and says, "Who are we going to find like this guy? I mean, this guy is really something. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take this guy and we're going to put him as second in control in the land of Egypt." Pharaoh looks at Joseph and he says, "Everything in the land of Egypt is under your control. Only in the throne itself, only in the fact that I am Pharaoh, am I greater than you. Other than me, there is no one greater than you in the land of Egypt." Now, let me ask you a question. Did Joseph look at him and say, "How much is that going to pay me per year? What is my salary going to look like? What kind of compensation am I going to get for doing what you're asking?" Of course he didn't. Because Joseph realized something important. Joseph realized in the fact that he became a steward of Pharaoh, that everything that Pharaoh owned was now under his control. The honest to goodness truth is that Joseph wasn't worth anything. All of Joseph's wealth was wrapped up in the position that he was put in by Pharaoh, which means that Joseph became the second richest person in Egypt, even though Joseph technically owned nothing. Now, why is that important? Because it teaches us an important lesson about stewardship. Joseph was not wrapped up in how much he had personally. His position meant everything. Now, Jesus says to us, if you can't even be faithful in the little things like money, how am I ever going to give you something big? Because if you're unjust in the little, you're going to be unjust in the much. If you're not faithful in the little, you're not going to be faithful in the much. Now, why is that important? Because in all of our passages about stewardship, every single one of them, go with me, Luke 19. Let's just look there. That one is fine. We'll go there. Luke 19. We already read this entire passage. Look here at what is said, and it's said in all of them. Look with me in verse number 16. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful with very little, what? Have thou authority over 10 cities. Stop and think about that with me. The master delivered him a very, very small amount, a pound, a mina, about a day's wage. He was faithful with what he received. The master rewarded him with authority over 10 cities. He made him a governor for being faithful with about $58 worth of money. Stop and think about that. Why is that? Because we learn from stewardship that the reward for good stewardship is always more responsibility. When I have been a good steward of the things that I have, I will always be rewarded with more responsibility. That's how it works. When I'm faithful at the little job that I've been given, then I'm rewarded with getting a bigger job. Now, look at this picture from yesterday. Who has more responsibility? This guy has a lot more responsibility than this guy. Yes. Consequently, who makes more money? This guy makes a lot more money than this guy. But not because their inherent value is any different. This guy as a human being is not worth more than this man as a human being. They will both die the same way, buried in a box, 6 feet under the ground. It will not matter. We cannot take any of it with us. His value as a human being is not more, but he has been entrusted with more responsibility. Why? Did this guy walk out of high school and say, I'd like to apply for the job as CEO of Kaiser Permanente? No. This guy started out at the bottom. And he worked his way up to the top. Why? Because when you're faithful with the little that you have, you're rewarded with more. Now, if that's our principle about stewardship, and we understand that when I'm faithful with the little bit that I have, then I will be rewarded with more. Then the point is that God is waiting on you. You're not waiting on Him. Does everybody understand that? You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. Oh, I've just been praying that God would give me more. I'm just praying that God would give me a better job, that He'd give me a bigger house, that He'd give me anything that I want. I don't understand why God isn't giving it to me. You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. When you're faithful, I'll reward you. When I can trust you, I'll reward you. When you're doing right, I'm going to reward you. I haven't been rewarded. Then be faithful. Do the right thing.
God wants to bless. Do we all agree with that? Because I think I lost you here for a second. I think that maybe you think I just went prosperity gospel preacher here. Listen, God wants to bless His children. But God can't reinforce bad behavior. Remember we talked about that? So if I'm not doing the wrong thing, God can't give me more to do the wrong thing with. God is going to give me just enough to get by, because otherwise I'm going to misuse more. And when I misuse more, I'm responsible to God for more. Why would a good father give their kid more rope to hang himself with? That doesn't make any sense. If I waste what I have now, listen, I will waste whatever I get. When I worked at the bank, I had a guy that came in. This guy, he had nothing. He lived on the streets for a long time. He came in one day and he wanted to open a bank account. I said, "Well, how much you open the bank account with?" He said, $58,000. What in the world? He said, "I won the lottery." I said, "Man, that is something. Here, let me help you. We're going to set this up so that you can have this money last you for a long time." Now, to make a long story short, this guy spent $58,000 in about 6 weeks. Okay? He had nothing 6 weeks later. Do you know why? Because he had nothing before. Yeah. Money does not make you good with money. Okay? If I gave you $1 million right now, listen very carefully. You would do the same thing with that $1 million that you've been doing with all of your money all along. Because if I said to you, if I gave you $1 million, what would you do with it? I would immediately say, "Oh man, I'd get me that new car. I'd get me those new shoes. Man, I'd buy my mama a house. I'd buy my daddy a house." That's why you don't got no money now. Because you're not doing the right thing with it. And if you don't do the right thing with it, God's not going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, but aren't I supposed to be generous? No, you're supposed to be wise. And there's a difference, okay? There's a difference. Listen, when God can trust me with what He's given me, He'll give me more. That is a principle of stewardship. And we have to understand that the biggest thing that gets in the way financially is me. If I think that the problem is always that I don't have enough money, let me ask you a simple question. How many of us make more today than we did 20 years ago? Well, the answer is all of us. Every single person here. Unless you just lost your job or something like that. You know, I make more money today than I did 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Do you feel like you have any more money today? No, because I'm still broke. What did you do with the last raise you got? Listen, let me make sure we're all on the same page. Every single one of us gets a tax return every single year, right? And some of us get a nice big tax return every year. Some of us, we have more kids just so we can get a bigger tax return every year. I know what I'm talking about, okay? Now let me ask you a question. Why is it that the tax return comes in? Because I know what happens. January 1st, we're trying to get our stuff together so we can pay them to give us a rapid return so we can get that money right now instead of waiting until it comes in the mail. So we're paying extra to get it now because we got stuff we want to buy and we got old stuff we need to pay off, right? And right after that nice big tax return comes in, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, we are broke as a joke, just like we were before it came in. Why do you think that is? Why? Because if we don't do the right thing before it comes, what makes you think if you got $50,000 that it would be any different? I know we all think it would be, but I'm telling you, it wouldn't. I worked with people every single day that blew through money all the time. It's no different. I'll give you another story. I was working with a man. He owned his house. It was a very nice house. He had a very good job. House was worth about $300,000. The house had gone up in price, in value a lot, to about $500,000. The guy had a lot of debt that he was paying off. So I brought him in and sat him down and started talking with him about his debt. And I said, "Listen, if we refinance your house and we put all of this debt, this debt that you have on your house, you will save about $1,600 a month in payments. $1,600 a month.
He was ecstatic. And I said, listen, we're moving this debt from these credit cards and everywhere else over to your house, but that doesn't mean it disappeared. You can now take that $1,600 and you can pay down on your mortgage, and you will have your mortgage paid off about 7 times faster than what you would have had we just left everything the same. This guy was excited. He was into everything I was saying. Yes, let's do that. Did all the paperwork for him, refinanced the house. We got everything done. I called him back about 3 months later. And I said, hey, Arthur, you going? Just want to check in with you. He said, man, good news. I just got a new car. You got a new car? He said, yeah, you freed up all this money for me. So I figured that I'd go out and get me this new car. I said, well, you know what? You already had a car, so I guess you paid cash for it. He said, no, I decided to go ahead and get a nice one. They took my trade-in, and they gave me $15,000 off for my trade-in, and I only financed about $35,000.
Wow.
But you were supposed to take that money, and you were supposed to be... And then I realized... I had fixed the problem for a man that didn't even understand that he had a problem. And when I did that, I created more money for him to do the wrong thing with. And the first thing that he did was did the wrong thing with his money, because that's what he had been doing all along. Listen, God can't bless us until we understand that we got to do the right thing with it. And when God sees that we will do the right thing with it, he has no problem blessing us. That's how it works. That's how it works. Oh, okay. Unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness. Look at this. Look here in our past. Luke 19. We're in 19, right? Yeah. Luke 19. Look at what it says in verse number 24. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him that hath the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Look at what they said. Same thing you say. But Lord, he's already got 10. Why are we giving it to the one that has 10 if he's already got 10? How many of us have ever complained, the rich just get richer in this world. It don't make no sense. The people who have money always have money, and we poor people can't get nothing. That's not the rich person's problem. That's God's problem. God is the one that said, take from the one who doesn't have and give it to the one that does have. Why? Because they're going to do the right thing with it. Why do you think that just because you're a Christian, that you do the right thing with your money and you deserve God's money? Listen, if the unbeliever is going to give 10% of their money to a charity and you're going to take all of your money as a Christian and spend it on yourself, why wouldn't God just give the money to the unbeliever? Oh, but I'm his child. He should give it to me. Why? You're not going to do the right thing with it either. So what difference does it make? No, I deserve it. I'm a child of God. He should be blessing me. Well, if the unsaved person is going to do the right thing, why would God give it to you? If I'm not going to do the right thing, God shouldn't give it to me. Because at least if he gives it to the unbeliever, they're responsible for it. I don't get more piled up on my account. Unfaithfulness leads to loss of reward, shame, anger, and bitterness. Why would you give more money to him? He's already got money. Because he's doing the right thing with it. So I'll bless him with more. God took from the one that did nothing and gave it to the 10. Not the people. And the people complain just like we do. It ain't fair. Why is it that he gets it? Because God said that's how it works. He says, for I say unto you that everyone which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away. That's bad news for us in finances if we don't want to follow what God says. But the good news is that if we do what God says that he will bless us. Pitfall number 5. Pitfall number 5. Yes, sir. Oh, the blanks.
More money with more blank.
Sorry.
More blank.
Sorry. Huh, how about that? I moved that to later. More money equals more responsibility. More money equals more responsibility, which equals more money. That's what we were saying. That's what we were saying here. More money equals responsibility, which equals more money. There is no way in this world to separate money from responsibility. People who have more money have more responsibility. Right? That's the way it works. Your boss has more responsibility than you, which is why he makes more money. More money equals more responsibility, which equals more money, meaning when I'm responsible, God has no problem giving me more. But I have to be responsible first for God to give it to me in the first place. Thank you. Okay. All right. Almost done. Trying to do the impossible. Pitfall number 5. Trying to do the impossible. It is impossible to serve God and serve money. It is 100% impossible. Luke chapter 16, verse number 13. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot. Say the word cannot. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It is not possible. It is not possible. Here's what it's like. It's like two planets. And each planet has its own gravity. And you think, I know you think it. I know you do, because I've thought it, and all of us think it. Well, I'll just fly around this one for a while, then I'll do a nice figure eight, and I'll fly around this one for a while, then I'll fly around this one, and I'll just keep gravitating between the two. I'll just fly around. I'll serve money during the week, then I'll serve God on Sunday, and I'm going to do fine. God says, you can't do it. It is not possible to serve God and serve money. Why? Because you are naturally going to gravitate to one or the other. The more you love God, the less you're going to worry about this. The more you love this, the less you're going to love God. It always happens that way. And the problem is, all of us are chasing this, and it chokes out our love for God. Wow. You can't do both. You can't do both. Either you're going to be content and thank God for what He has and do the best with what God has given you, or you are not, and you are going to spend your life running around behind more because you haven't figured out that the person that I should be chasing is the one that has everything.
Yeah.
You can't do it. God says you can't do it, yet we always try. Listen, here's some good advice. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. That is good advice that don't nobody follow.
Yeah.
It's good advice. Labor not to be rich. Stop. Be wise. Don't do it. But we try and do the impossible. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That is good advice.
Yeah.
But none of us follow it. Why? Because the system of this world says you need that. And to have that, you need to work more to get that instead of God gives me what I need, and I'm going to be content with what I need, with what I have, because my Father, when He knows that I'm doing the right thing with what I have, will give me more.
Yeah.
You can't do the impossible. We all try, but you can't do it. It just doesn't work. So stop trying. Listen, if somebody were to offer you a car that costs $30,000 or $30,000, which one would you take? Please tell me that you take the money. Please tell me that you take the money. Why? Because if you give me the money, I can buy the car. If you give me the car, I can't buy money. You with me? If my Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, if He can give me everything that I need, then if I chase after Him, He can take care of all that.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if I chase after all of that,
yeah,
it can never give me Him.
Yeah.
Listen, if my God is a loving Father who cares about me, then all I need is Him. I don't need all these other distractions that get me distracted from how good He truly is. Good advice. Stop trying. Stop chasing. Chase after God. And He'll give you everything else. My wife's life verse, Psalms 37, 4, 5, and 6. Delight thyself also in... Help me out. Sorry. I wanted to go there. Delight thyself. Commit thy way unto the Lord. He also He shall bring to pass. Delight thyself.
also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If I delight myself in Him, He'll take care of the things that I need. He'll give me those desires. He will put the right desires inside of me, and then He'll give them to me. Listen, God is good. Serve Him. Don't try and do the impossible. And lastly, here we go. Last one. Told you that we were almost finished. Having the wrong motives. Now, these two go together. You're going to tell me I'm not chasing money. I am serving God. The Bible says in verse number 14, Luke 16:14, and the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things, and they derided Him. The Pharisees heard everything that God said, and God tells us the information that we didn't know, who were covetous. They made fun of everything that Jesus said. Why is that? Because they had the wrong motives. Listen, you can make everybody here think that you're a good Christian who just loves the Lord, who wants to do what's right all the time. But God knows your heart. God knows what's on the inside. God warns us, by the way, that blank there, not to chase after money. Not to chase after money is what goes in that blank. God knows your heart. Having the wrong motives. It is easy to forget that God knows our heart. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 4:13. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Everything. Your intentions, your motives, your plans, your ideas. He sees them all, and He sees right to the heart. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And He said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What is that that's esteemed most among men? Well, we all know. It's riches. The people that have and the people that have not. We watch the people on TV and we look and say, man, I want to live like them. I want to do what they do. We watch shows about their houses. We watch shows about their cars. We idolize those that have money. God says, I don't care anything about that. As a matter of fact, the love of that stuff there is an abomination in my eyes. Yet God's people are chasing after the thing that God says, I don't even want to look at it. Why? Because you can't serve God and money. Check your motives tonight. God knows why you want to get your finances in order. He does. And He knows whether or not it's because you want to go out and get more stuff or it's because you want to honor Him with your finances. He knows the difference. And you're not going to trick Him. If our intentions aren't right, then God's not going to bless us in our actions. Listen. Spend some time. Analyzing this passage. Understand that God is talking about money here. And understand that God wants to bless you just like a loving father. And if we will get ourselves straightened out, God has no problem adding more to His servants because God is waiting to bless His servants for their right actions. God says in Malachi, bring up tithes in the storehouse. And prove me therewith. I will open up the windows of heaven and start dumping out on top of you a blessing that you can't even receive. Why? Because if you'll honor me, I'll take care of you. God never asks something for nothing. Never. God says you can trust me that I will give you everything you need if you will be obedient to me. And we have to take God at His word. What questions are there? Told you I wasn't going to be long. Told you we were almost finished. What questions, comments, thoughts? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Here's the plan for tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to change things up. Tomorrow, we are going to work on finances, okay? So, tomorrow, when we come in, we are going to get started. We have some things in here about how to actually sit down and work on a budget, what the Bible says about how to get ourselves under control. We're going to look at some things that we can do. I know, I've tried a budget. It worked for a day. And then I went and got coffee and blew my budget and I just quit. I know. But we're going to talk about not only how to create one. The reason that that happened is because you didn't do it right. It's because you started at the end. The end is creating a budget. The beginning is where we started at 2 days ago. Understanding it belongs to Him, not to me. He's put me, I'm accountable to Him. And that's going to help me stick to a budget a lot more than just saying, oh, here's a piece of paper. I think I'm going to write this down. If our foundation isn't right, we're never going to do the right actions. So tomorrow we're going to talk about a budget. Now, here's what you can do. I don't know how close this church is. I don't know how much y'all like each other, okay? I assume that y'all like each other a lot. But I know that when people like each other, they don't want people to know what's going on with their finances, right? Because it's like, I don't want them to know how bad things are because it's embarrassing. I get that. Tomorrow, come with questions, okay? Sit down with your wife or your husband, or if you're alone, you're single, that's fine. Sit down tonight and actually take a look at your finances and come ready to say, okay, what do I do about this? I am in debt. It is a mess. What do I do? How do I take care of that? We're going to do some question and answer. We're going to deal with some real issues so that we can leave here tomorrow. The foundation is in place. Now let's start putting on top of that how we're going to deal with our individual situations, okay? And we're going to work through how to create a budget, why we should have one, why do you not have one, how do we stick to one. We're going to take care of all that tomorrow. And hopefully any questions that you have, whether or not you want to ask them with everybody or you just want to pull me aside during lunch and say, now what do I do about this? I've seen a lot of financial situations. I've seen a lot of them. And hopefully, if I don't know the right answer, I'll get you the right answer. Things always come up like, well, but what about investing money? What about this? You can ask whatever the question is. I'm going to do my best to answer your questions. All right. Anything? Anything else? Any questions for tomorrow? All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time that we spent in your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, I pray that I was clear. Lord, it's a lot of information. But Lord, there's a lot of things that we need to know before we can do what you've told us to do, Lord. And that's to be wise stewards, to be good stewards of everything that you've given us. Lord, finances is such a big part of our life. Lord, nothing happens in this world without money. Lord, we need it every day to live, to survive, to eat. Lord, and that's why you put so much here for us. Lord, help us to understand that you understand. Lord, that you see what we're going through and you desire to help us. Lord, but first, we have to get ourselves into a position where you can bless us. Lord, I pray that you would send us home tonight. Lord, give us safety as we go. Lord, I pray that you'd bring us back tomorrow ready to attack our situations and to see the miraculous things that you can do in our lives. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.